It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see. For I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podketeers, and welcome to episode 20 of the Podketeer Podcast. Please forgive my voice. I am still struggling with the flu, but I'm better than I was last week. And I also wish to apologize for being a day late with the show. Unfortunately, I had a little dental emergency yesterday. And believe it or not, I have a wonderful dentist that actually allows me to call him at home. And he was gracious enough to come to his office on Sunday, interrupted his weekend to take care of my tooth. So Dr. Rudzat, I thank you very much. And if you need a dentist and you're in the Southern California area around La Mirada, give them a call. Now, the opening segment of today's show is going to focus on the King Arthur Carousel. The King Arthur Carousel, well, Walt Disney, when his daughters were small, would take them on Sundays to Griffith Park in Los Angeles to ride the large 1928 Spellman Carousel that is still there. And inspired by his fondness for that carousel, he really wanted to have something at Disneyland similar to it. So he had his team scour the country, and they finally found a park model Denzel Menagerie Carousel for the George A. Denzel Company. And they found one at Sunnyside Beach Park in Toronto, Canada. Now, he may have had some feedback from Walter Knott, who he was, I wouldn't say friends, but he was acquainted with him, because Walter Knott also installed two similar Denzel carousels at Knott's Berry Farm in the same year, 1955. And one of those is actually still operating today. The core structure of Walt Disney's new carousel had been built in 1875 by the George A. Denzel Carousel Company. And it was first installed at Sunnyside in 1922 when it operated there until Disney had it moved to Disneyland during the park's initial construction in 1954. It had three courses of horses. Courses of horses, that rhymes. And other animals and chariot benches on a platform that was 72 feet in diameter. The original ornately hand-carved wooden chariot benches were removed, and the chariot woodwork was repurposed to decorate the calliope tenders and passenger cars of the Casey Jr. Circus Train. And although Walt Disney wanted to have the carousel consist entirely of horses, he just didn't yet have enough horses. So it was decided to add a fourth row of horses to increase the capacity. And he purchased them from various locations around the country, including a Loof carousel. And that was at Coney Island Amusement Park. And others from an unidentified Stein and Goldstein carousel. Now, many of these horses arrived in poor condition with crude repairs such as newspaper-stuffed papier-mâché legs. The standers, they're called, on the original three rows were converted to jumpers by removing the legs and carving new ones. Custom-built crankshafts were installed overhead to operate each horse as a jumper in motion. and a Wurlitzer number 157 band organ face was installed to decorate the carousel, but that actually does not operate. It's just a facade. On most carousels, there was one white horse. This horse was considered like B horse. If you wanted to ride it, that's the one you wanted to ride. And the single white horse on Disney's carousel proved so popular that in 1976, all of the horses were repainted white so that everybody could ride the most popular horse. And from 1976 until it was moved east 3 feet approximately in 1983 during the Fantasyland rebuild, it remained pretty much unchanged. Now, time is not kind to outdoor amusements. And shortly after the beginning of the new millennium, it was becoming obvious that the carousel was going to need significant restoration work. Once the work got started and the full extent of the deterioration was found, it was decided to basically rebuild the carousel. As part of that work, scenes from Sleeping Beauty were added to the inside ring, one row of horses was removed so that a bench and wheelchair access could be added for compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And a new computer control system was installed to ensure that the ride would stop at exactly the position as it began, which allowed the use of a wheelchair ramp. And the carousel was reopened in February of 2003. Now, January in 2010, the stirrups of each outer course horse were replaced to include additional lower loops, which again increased accessibility. Then, as part of Disneyland's 50th anniversary, the ride vehicles for most of the original 1955 attractions were painted gold. They did that to one vehicle on each ride. And for King Arthur's Carousel, they chose the lead horse Jingles, which was Walt's favorite horse. And that's the one that they painted gold. Now, it was also temporarily removed from the carousel and placed near the Dumbo ride as a photo opportunity. On April 8th, 2008, Jingles was dedicated to Disney legend Julie Andrews in a mourning ceremony. In preparation for the dedication, Jingles was decorated with elements appropriate to Andrews' Disney career. On the saddle and saddle blanket were added the letters J.A., an umbrella, a 50 representing her work as the ambassador for the park's 50th anniversary celebration, and a silhouette of Mary Poppins. Also, Jingle hooves have been painted gold. Each horse on the carousel has an individual name, and a complete list is available at City Hall on Main Street. Now, about the Denzel carousels, there are a number of those still operating in the United States. There are four in California alone, the one at Disneyland, the one at Knott's Berry Farm that I mentioned before, one at Castle Park in Riverside, California, and one at the San Francisco Zoo. And there are, 15 states with carousels. And there is one in Canada, in Toronto, Canada, at Centerville Island, or at Center Island, Centerville Park. See, the Denzel Company has been making carousels off and on since the mid-1800s. So it's pretty neat to have one at Disneyland. And they're actually making solar carousels now. William Denzel III is currently producing the solar carousels, which is pretty cool. Says him, three of his offspring, and his wife following the family tradition. And Prince is William III, is currently the main standard bearer for the carousel company. And he takes on a limited number of carousel projects every year. So that's pretty neat that you would resurrect your grandfather or great-grandfather's company. And then, as I mentioned, the Loof Carousel, those were made in Providence, Rhode Island. He was actually the earliest and most successful of the Coney Island Carousel builders, which Disney's carousel is considered a Coney Island-style carousel. And let's see, the Denzel carousels are spread widely across the United States and Canada, as I said. So that's about what we have on that. I have pictures of about 75 of the carousel horses, and I'll try to get those out a few at a time onto the website when I get an opportunity. But that's pretty neat. I mean, the carousel is, it's the big gaudy brooch your aunt wears. It really stands out, and it's I think the neatest part of the park myself, and definitely something that they take pride in because it's in beautiful condition. So I hope you enjoyed this little history lesson about the carousel. And now I got a little bit of a product review next. I'd just like to take a moment to again thank my friend Rick Moyer at MoyerMultimedia.com for taking the time to put together the theme song to the Podketeer podcast. If you need any voiceover work, or you need any kind of a theme song or music put together for a presentation or for your company or for a podcast, you look Rick up. He could not be more helpful. His name is Rick Moyer, and the name of his website is MoyerMultimedia.com. Well, Podketeers, I'm going to do the first of a thing I've done before here, a product review. My wife brought me a present home from Target this last weekend, and it is a new CD from Disney, 2011, and I believe it just came out. It's Mickey's Magical Holiday. It's 10 songs. They have We Wish You a Merry Christmas, Winter Wonderland, Deck the Halls, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, White Christmas, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, Do You Hear What I Hear, Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Now, most of these, I think there were two that do not feature Disney characters, but the others all do. And I've heard better, but they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Frosty the Snowman is sung by Goofy, and so is All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, which is kind of cute. He's got his two front teeth, but he's got a large space in between them, so I guess that's a good one for Goofy to sing. And Donald Duck sings a couple of them also. And I like them. I listened to them in my car this morning, and they're good. If you like Disney stuff, and you know, it's good to stick in your stereo and listen to it Christmas time. Definitely worth a listen. And I've got a little clip here, and you know, I hate to tell you this, I don't remember what song this is from, so I'll come back after it and comment. So here I'm going to play a little clip from the DVD. Or not DVD, CD. Sorry about that.
Help me! Are you ready?
Am I ready? I've been waiting for a sleigh ride all winter long. I even brought some jingle bells.
Well, come on, let's go!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in
one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Obviously, that was Jingle Bells. It's pretty much a good example of what's on the CD. Now, I noticed one thing. Whoever mixed these, it's pretty obvious if you listen to them, if you've ever done any of that kind of stuff. Each one of these tracks was put down separately, and then they mixed it together to have the voices all together singing a song. And they could have done a little better job, because a couple of the songs, Donald Duck overpowers everybody, and it's pretty hard to hear what Donald is saying. It's hard to understand him. And since he's the loudest of the bunch, sometimes it's hard to tell what words they're saying. But it just, like, two songs, I think, were that way. But like I said, the CDs were definitely worth the price. It was pretty inexpensive. I think it was $11, $12, something like that. And it's available at Target, at least. I don't know if it's available anywhere else. It didn't say it was a Target exclusive, so I would imagine it's available pretty much wherever you can buy music at, and probably on Amazon, too. So I hope you like that little clip, and you'll go out and pick you up the new CD. As I said, it's Mickey's Magical Holiday.
This is Podcateer.
Next piece of audio is something I've had for a while. I picked it up on YouTube. And what it is, it's one of the window dedication ceremonies that they hold, well, mostly on Main Street. There's some other windows in different parts of the park that have also been dedicated, but this particular one was on Main Street. And it's to Bob Gurr, who is one of the more famous people in Disneyland history. And I'll read you a little bio from Bob Gurr's history. It says, Imagineer Bob Gurr has always been a man on the move. For nearly 40 years, he's helped move many a happy Disneyland theme park guest aboard vehicles and ride conveyances of his own design. He's often quipped, "If it moves on wheels at Disneyland, I probably designed it." And he probably has, developing more than 100 designs for attractions ranging from the Autopia to the Matterhorn bobsleds to the Disneyland and Walt Disney World monorails and more. Born in Los Angeles, young Bob was fascinated with tools, mechanical devices, and cars. He often crawled through a hole in the fence of nearby Grand Central Air Terminal in Glendale to sneak into the cockpits of idle transport airplanes. While at school, he decorated his test papers with sketches of automobiles. Later, he attended Art Center College of Design in Los Angeles on a General Motors scholarship, where he studied industrial design. Upon graduation in 1952, he was hired by Ford Motor Company, but he soon purchased a rubber stamp marked R.H. Gurr Industrial Design and went into business for himself. Soon after, Walter Elias Disney, through WED Enterprises, which now is known as Walt Disney Imagineering, hired Bob to consult on the design of the mini cars for the Autopia. And Walt was so impressed with Bob's knowledge and skill that he invited him to join the Imagineering family, which then was solely dedicated to the design and construction of Disneyland. And over the next nearly four decades, Bob worked transportation magic, developing the memorable Flying Saucers attraction, which is one of my favorite, in Tomorrowland, the antique cars and double-decker buses on Main Street, of Ford Motor Company's Magic Skyway, which premiered at the 1964-65 New York World's Fair, and more. Bob also helped design the mechanical workings of Disney's first audio animatronic figure, Abraham Lincoln, which was, of course, featured in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. In 1981, Bob retired early from Imagineering to launch Gurr Design Incorporated, and 3 years later joined Creative Forces with two former Imagineers to form Sequoia Creative Incorporated, the firm which specializes in leisure time spectaculars and fantastical beasts, developed King Kong and Conan's Serpent for Universal Studios Hollywood. I wasn't aware of that until right now. Among his other mechanical feats, Bob was instrumental in creating the mysterious UFO that soared over the closing ceremonies of the 1984 Los Angeles Summer Olympics. Now, just a little thing about that. I saw that flying saucer, and it was also used at the US Festival in 1983. So I got to see it before the people at the Olympics. It was really cool. And let's see, he also consulted on the animated T-Rex figure featured in Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park. And I have a tooth from that figure. I have a acquaintance that worked at the park. And when they tore up that dinosaur, they tossed all the pieces in the dumpster. And employees jumped in there and got pieces, and I got a tooth. Now, Bob continues to consult on Disney projects, including the giant Ursula figure, which is in Tokyo Disney Sea. And in 1999, he was honored with the Themed Entertainment Association's Lifetime Achievement Award. And Bob continues to make mechanical magic while living his favorite philosophy in the words of Malcolm Forbes, "While alive, live." And now is the entire ceremony honoring Bob Gurr with a window on Main Street. Take it away, Bob.
Brand new.
Disneyland Resort, Senior Vice President, Resort Operations, Mr. Michael O'Brien. Thank you, and thanks to the Deborah Dance for that wonderful welcome. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Disneyland on what truly is a glorious day. You know, we're here to pay tribute to one of our veteran Imagineers for his contributions to Disneyland over the years, with a window right here on Main Street, USA. You know, as, of course, Walt Disney himself started this tradition back in 1955, looking to honor those who were instrumental in the design and construction of Disneyland with their personalized windows here on Main Street, and we carry on that tradition today. So without further ado, let us welcome our honoree. Please welcome with me Disney legend Bob Gurr.
You know, if we had a complete parade of the everything Bob designed that moves at Disneyland, it would take about 3 hours, I think, if we're lucky. Because at last count, I think, Bob, there were something like 100 different designs that you did for things that move in Disneyland. In fact, I think it was Bob himself who said that if it moves at Disneyland, I probably designed it. Certainly for the first 25 years, that was true. And how many times do you actually get to ride in to a session like this on a vehicle you actually designed, right? And this was designed for only one person, that was Walt Disney. But Bob, from the first design he did for Disneyland, which was the Autopia cars, to monorail, which was done, Bob, in what, 9 months, I think, from first design to actual opening. Today would take us 4 years. To the submarines, and he's got some great stories about how he did a sketch of the submarine. They built a little mock-up, and then Joe Fowler grabbed it. And Bob said, is there anything else you need from me, Joe? And he said, no. Joe took it to Todd Shipyards in Long Beach and built the submarines, which are still here, fortunately. Thank you, Nemo. You name it. All the vehicles on Main Street, water systems, Small World, Pirates, on and on, Bob designed it. You know, I think the big thing is that Bob Gurr was one of those people who understood that with Walt Disney, you never said no. And there are a lot of, and if there was something that we could say it was magic in transportation, Bob Gurr was responsible for setting the whole template in place. So thank you, Bob, and congratulations.
Thank you, Marty. You know, I think it's that time we unveil that window. But I think we need a little assistance. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. Would you like to join us up for the unveiling of your window? Gentlemen, if you please. Bum ba da bum ba da. Bum ba da bum ba da. Reads, leading the race to the future, Meteor Cycle Company. Our vehicles pass the test of time. Fast, faultless, and fabulous. Gurr Design Impresario. And as you can see, special for you, we've also accompanied your window with a theme sign which reads Meteor Cycle Company. Bob, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Marty. Look at all these people got up before dawn. You're going to sit out here on an ice-cold street there to do this. Thank you so much for everybody showing up. I invited 30 people. Where did this be? Anyway, I've had some really wonderful days at Disneyland. I can still vividly remember our opening day. Really hot, trying to keep the Autopia cars running. All the chaos out there on the Autopia ride. Another memory is the new monorail in 1959, and Walt wanted me to give Vice President Nixon a ride in the train. Those two memories are so visible in my memory. Today, I think, is going to be another one of those days. So there's going to be 3 days I don't think I could ever forget. Now, over time, there's been several different awards that Imagineers get from time to time. One of them, of course, was the Lifetime Achievement Award with the Themed Entertainment Association, and then another one from the National Fantasy Fun Club, and then, of course, in 2004, the Disney Legend Award. But all those, like that, those all took the cake, three of those. But now I'm looking up here at my old bicycle, and this thing really puts the frosting on the cake. This is beyond anything I ever imagined. But you know, I'm in a nice neighborhood. Bill Justice is over here. We got ice cream here. We got the dentist here to fix your teeth after eating the ice cream. Nice store over here. This is going to be really neat because my name will represent myself, and over the years, the Disneyland will be here I can watch everybody go up this street and watch everybody go back out after having an absolutely wonderful family day here. So this is basically going to be there, hopefully, forever. And I can enjoy that. Thank you so very, very much.
Here at Disneyland will live on as a legacy for years to come, providing not only our guests with happy memories, but a lot of great, big, beautiful tomorrows.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Bob had a dream that was the start. He followed his dream with mind and heart, and when it became a reality, was a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream
got your own window on Main Street. Where are you going to go now?
I'm going to Disneyland.
Well, my Podketeer buddies, I hope you enjoyed the audio there, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And this just about wraps it up. We're at just a hair over 30 minutes, and I try to keep them somewhere around between 30 and 45 minutes. I think that's a nice listenable distance there to go. And as I said, I hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll be out here next week for episode number 21 of the Podketeer Podcast. Lucky number 21. So until then, y'all take care of yourselves and have a magical Disney week. And keep your fingers crossed that my voice recovers. Take care. Ta-ta for now.
Podketeer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse Copyright 1928, The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podketeer.com. The great caricature artwork on the Podketeer website was created by Disneyland artist Catherine Clark. You may email her at portraitsandcaricatures@yahoo.com. Her blog is located at myspace.com/Clark_art.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh?
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
Huh? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Home.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.